This is Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, Battle of the Books Quiz Center Study Session Number 2. Northanger Abbey is what's known as a coming-of-age novel. These are novels that deal with the transition from adolescence to adulthood. And so the main characters are usually between the ages of about 16 to 18. Northanger Abbey is also said to be a satire of Gothic novels. Gothic refers to Gothic architecture, which you can see in old castles. That's Gothic architecture. And Gothic novels are spooky, haunted kind of books and stories like Dracula, Frankenstein, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Novels like that are considered Gothic novels. So they're basically spooky stories that happen in castles. The author of Northanger Abbey, Jane Austen, was born on December 16th, 1775 in Steventon, United Kingdom, or England. She actually wrote Northanger Abbey in 1803. It was her first full novel that she ever wrote, but it wasn't published until after her death in 1818. Something to do with publishing rights and copyright and that kind of thing. She did write other novels after this, very well-known, famous novels, Sense and Sensibility in 1811 and Pride and Prejudice in 1813. These novels have been made into movies. Northanger Abbey also has been made into movies. She died on July 18th, 1817. She was only 41 years old. She died in Winchester in the United Kingdom. She had been feeling bad since about early 1816, but she pretty much just ignored the warning signs and didn't get treatment. And anyway, she died of what they think is either Addison's disease or Hodgkin's lymphoma. So 41 years old on July 18th, 1817. Her home is still there. You can visit it. And there's other Jane Austen sites around the area in which the story, Northanger Abbey, takes place, and also around where her home was. And in Bath, where this story takes place, lots of Jane Austen museums and visitor centers. This is the same warning that I will put at the beginning of all of the Battle of the Books Quiz Center study sessions. It's a study session. It's not a review, really, although I may give some personal opinions, but it's about helping you understand and remember the content in the books so that you can use this information in Battle of the Books competitions or literature circles, book groups, whatever, so you thoroughly understand the book. So I just want to make sure you know at the beginning that it's going to be full of spoilers. Please read the book before you watch this, because I'm going to be giving away all endings, all surprises. So there you go. The main character in Northanger Abbey is Catherine Morland. She's a 17-year-old young woman who lives in Fullerton, England, out in the countryside. She is a tomboy. She loves running around outside, riding horses, playing baseball and cricket. She doesn't like to sit still. She doesn't like school. She likes to read, but not serious things like history or things like that. She would rather just be outside running around. Fullerton, England, is 75 miles southwest of London, England. Between London and Fullerton is Jane Austen, the author's home, where she lived in Chawtown, and it's now a museum that you can visit. Catherine Morland is from a large family. She has 9 siblings, so a family of 10 children in all. There were 3 boys born before her, and then she was the first girl. So she was the 4th child born. Her father's a clergyman, and they live out in the country. So they're not poor, but they're not aristocrats either. They're not wealthy people. And this does come into play in the story later on. As I said before, Catherine did not like school. She would rather be running around playing outside. She was inattentive in school and daydreamed about things like being, she wanted to be a heroine, like the characters in the books that she liked to read. A heroine is like, well, in the picture here, she's imagining Wonder Woman, which in reality, she wouldn't be imagining this particular character because it's awfully futuristic for a girl in the 1800s to be thinking of. But it just sort of is the icon for heroines. But heroines would be like the main characters who are very brave and courageous and save the day and are females. Heroes are males, heroines are females. So like think of Nancy Drew. She solves the mysteries. Hermione Granger, Matilda, Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games. These are heroines, and this is what Catherine wants to be, a heroine like the characters, the female characters that she reads about in the novels that she reads, that are usually gothic novels. Catherine was pretty bored living out in the countryside where not much interesting happens, not much new happens. And so she imagines fictional stories to be her own life. She daydreams a lot. She thinks of quotes, sometimes doesn't completely understand their true meaning and applies them to herself and her own life. So some of the poets and authors that she uses as inspiration include Alexander Pope, Bear About the Mockery of Woe, Thomas Gray, who is quoted to say, "Many a flower is born to blush unseen and waste its fragrance on the desert air." I think she feels like that, like she's a flower blooming somewhere so far away from society and most people that even if she looks beautiful and is wonderful, there's no one really around to notice. James Thompson said, "It is a delightful task to teach the young idea how to shoot." And several quotes by Shakespeare. Looks like she really loves Shakespeare. I mean, who doesn't? "Trifles light as air are to the jealous confirmation strong as proofs of holy writ." I don't know what this means. I love Shakespeare, but I really don't understand a lot of what Shakespeare says. I just sort of read it and I kind of get an idea of what's going on without trying to understand every line. Another Shakespeare quote, "And the poor beetle that we tread upon in corporal sufferance finds a pang as great as when a giant dies." I suppose this is saying that a little bug that seems insignificant experiences the same amount of pain when stomped on as a giant would. Finally, Shakespeare, "A young woman in love always looks like patience on a monument, smiling in grief." Mr. Allen was wealthier than the Morelands because he was the owner of the property that they were living on, renting, I suppose, in Fullerton, in the village of Wiltshire, where so the Moreland family lived there, but they were friendly too with each other, the Allens and the Fullertons. Anyway, the Allens, Mr. Allen and his wife, were going to the city of Bath to ease his gout. Gout is like a very bad arthritis, a lot of inflammation in the joints, fingers, toes, legs, hurts really bad. And so Bath was considered a very healthy place to go because of the warm springs and the waters there that were said to be healthy to drink and to bathe in. And so he and his wife were going there to stay for 6 weeks, and they invited Catherine to go with them. This is actually a picture right now of Bath, England. So it's still a real popular tourist spot. You can see the bridge with the arches going across the river. That is the Pulteney Bridge, and the place where they stayed, the Allens and Catherine Morland, where they stayed was on Pulteney Street. So the place in Bath where people like to socialize and meet, kind of like a club, but in the 1800s, this was called the pump room. And it was named that because they would pump in water from the warm springs that were nearby. And these waters were said to be healthy to drink and to bathe in. I don't think they drank the water that they bathed in, though. But there was like a big fountain, like a vase fountain thing, and the water would come out and people would fill their cups and drink this water from the warm springs. It was said to be healthy for them. And so they would also hang out here and socialize. And this is where Mrs. Allen and Catherine were hanging around. And they didn't know anybody in town yet, so they were feeling kind of out of place. So they just sort of sat and talked for a while until things got interesting. So in this current map of Bath, England, you can see Pulteney Street where Catherine and the Allens stayed. And also notice that now there's a Jane Austen Center there in Bath that you can visit. Just as a side note about Mrs. Allen, she was obsessed with fashion and clothes. It's pretty much all she talked about. So anyway, she was nice, but she was just really obsessed with gowns and things. This is where Catherine Morland met Henry Tilney. And they started talking and I suppose sort of flirting and joking with each other. So as I said, Mrs. Allen and Catherine were feeling sort of awkward and out of place because they didn't know anybody in town. But finally, Mrs. Allen saw Mrs. Thorpe, who was a former classmate of hers. And Mrs. Thorpe knew Catherine's brother, James, because he was a friend of her son, John Thorpe, who you'll find out is a jerk. Anyway, Isabella Thorpe is her daughter. She's 4 years older than Catherine, and then she and Catherine sort of make friends and start hanging out with each other. Catherine and Isabella liked to sit together and read novels, especially on rainy days. And a lot of people in the 1800s made fun of novels. They thought that they were frivolous, silly, not serious literature. The book that Catherine was reading at the time was the 1794 Gothic novel called Mysteries of Udolpho by Anne Radcliffe. Catherine thought that Laurentina's skeleton was behind the black veil. That's what she said to Isabella when they were discussing it. Other Gothic novels that Isabella recommended to Catherine include Castle of Wolfenbach, Claremont, Mysterious Warnings, Necromancer of the Black Forest, Midnight Bell, Orphan of the Rhine, and Horrid Mysteries. So they're all spooky, haunted Gothic novels that they're interested in reading. Isabella says to Catherine, who's her new friend, that her attachments are always excessively strong. When she loves people, she loves them very strongly. She's trying to express how loyal she is, you know, how faithful and loyal and strong she is when she really likes or loves someone. But this reminds me of two different quotes. One is from William Shakespeare, "Methinks thou doth protest too much," which basically means if what you're saying is true, you don't have to be saying it. The other one is from the movie G.I. Jane with Demi Moore, where the colonel says something about making statements about not making statements. What Isabella is saying to Catherine is something better shown than spoken. And this shows up later in the story when you see through Isabella's superficial exterior. The Edgar buildings are famous buildings with shops in them on Milsom Street in Bath, England. And this is where Mrs. Allen likes to go to find gowns, and Catherine and Isabella go to look around and go shopping. It was difficult for Catherine and Isabella to cross Cheap Street in Bath because it was a very busy street, lots of horses and carriages going back and forth. And as they were standing on the corner trying to wait to cross, a gig or a horse and a carriage crossed in front of them, and it ended up being Catherine's brother, James, and Isabella's brother, John Thorpe, coming from Tetbury. So Catherine and James and John and Isabella, they all start talking and introducing Catherine to John. And John Thorpe, Isabella's brother, who I said was a jerk, he wanted to drive with Catherine to Lansdowne Hill. He invited her to go with him. But he also was talking and just he's very pompous, very, very arrogant, showing off. And he tells her that he never reads novels, like, oh, they're just beneath him, that they're silly and frivolous. And it made her feel embarrassed. It was definitely an insult. He said that he only liked Tom Jones and The Monk. He called the novel Camilla by Fanny Burney stupid because the reason why he didn't like the novel, Camilla by Fanny Burney, was because Fanny Burney, the author, married an immigrant. And then it turns out that he admits he didn't even read the novel. He just decided he didn't like it because of who she married, that she married an immigrant. Anyway. Then they go to the Thorpes' place where they're staying, and John Thorpe tells his mother that she looks like a witch wearing the hat that she bought, and he tells his sisters that they're very ugly. I think he thought that he was teasing and being funny, but he's just rude and abrasive. At this point, Catherine realizes she doesn't like this guy, but she tells her brother James that she does like him. Because she doesn't want to hurt James's feelings. It's his friend. So now it was a different day, and Catherine went with James, her brother, and Isabella, and also John Thorpe back to the pump house and to the dances. And she was kind of like John Thorpe's date, but she really wanted to dance with Henry Tilney, but she didn't feel like she would be able to accept if he asked because she was kind of there as John Thorpe's date. But John Thorpe took off and went and was talking to some friends. And so this left Catherine just sitting at the table. Isabella said that she would not leave Catherine's side. She would not leave her alone. But then just a few minutes later, James asked her to dance and she changed her mind and off she went, leaving Catherine sitting there alone, which kind of shows you Isabella's character. So then Henry Tilney shows up. And remember, him and Catherine had met in the pump room before and talked, and she liked him and she wanted to dance with him. And he asked her, but she didn't feel that she should because she sort of had committed to coming here with Isabella and her brother John. So she kind of felt like she was John's date and didn't feel like she should dance with Mr. Tilney, with Henry Tilney. Isabella said that James. So Isabella and James Moreland were dancing, and then Isabella came and told Catherine that James wanted to dance with her again, and that that was against the rules because it was considered improper in that day to dance together again and not change partners. I guess it, like, if you dance with someone again and again, it made it too serious and romantic. So you were supposed to change partners to keep things casual. John Thorpe arranged it for him to drive Catherine in his gig or his horse and carriage, and for Isabella, his sister, to ride with James Moreland in his, and that they would all ride in two separate carriages to Claverton Down. So as they were going along the road, he's talking and, as usual, just boasting and being all show-offy, and tells Catherine that her brother James's gig is going to break down. It's just such a mess. It's going to fall apart on the way, and that upsets Catherine. And so then she wants to stop and say, "No, let's turn back. I don't want my brother's carriage to break down on the way," and they get stuck. And then John turns around and contradicts himself. Anyway, he confuses Catherine because he lies to make himself look more important. This is his habit. And her parents are good, simple people who never do that. So she was very much confused with him, as well as annoyed. So it's a different day at the pump room, and there's dancing going on, and Isabella and James are dancing. And so Henry asks Catherine to dance. She wanted to dance with him all along. Of course, she accepts. Well, John Thorpe comes in and gets all offended because for some reason he thought that Catherine was his date all week. He said that he thought she was engaged to him since Monday, not engaged to be married, but engaged to be with him, which was a ridiculous assumption. So anyway, Catherine and Henry dance. And Henry tells Catherine that he thinks of a country dance as being like a marriage, with fidelity and complacence being common duties. He says that the advantages that a man has in both a dance and marriage is choice, and that the only power women have in both marriage and a country dance is the power to refuse. So this is back in the day when a woman would never ask a man to dance or ask a man to marry them or anything like that. Henry had a sister named Eleanor Tilney. And Henry and Eleanor invited Catherine to go walking with them in the countryside. So she was really excited about this because she wanted to be around Henry. But the next day, she's sitting there waiting for them, and it was raining outside. And so the time went on, and they didn't show up when she expected them to. So she thought, oh, I guess our plans are canceled because of rain. So she was sitting there waiting, doing nothing, and all of a sudden, John Thorpe and Isabella show up, and John lies, as he does, and tells Catherine that he saw Henry Tilney walking with a girl on Lansdowne Road, and they told him that they were going to Wick Rocks. In other words, they were going off without Catherine. So he does this to convince Catherine to go with them in the carriage. And so she does, because she figures, okay, well, Henry went off to Wick Rocks or whatever. So they're in the carriage together. And as they're riding, Catherine looks out in the street and she sees Henry and his sister walking toward where she's staying, like to go get her for the walk. And they look at her like, what are you doing? Where are you going? So she was horrified. Catherine was so upset about looking like she shined on Henry and his sister Eleanor for the walk that she runs to the house where they're staying, runs past their servant who was supposed to stop anyone from just bursting into the house. She bursts in and goes into a room where she finds Henry and his sister Eleanor with their father, General Tilney. And they all look pretty shocked, like, who is this woman bursting in? And she's all upset and apologizing because of she didn't want them to think that she did this on purpose. Anyway, they make their plans again to go walking. And so Catherine does go walking with Henry and Eleanor. They go walking around Beech and Cliff, which is a popular, beautiful place near Bath. Catherine said that it reminded her of the south of France, which she had never been to the south of France. I don't think she'd been in France at all. She was not a traveler, but she had an idea of how the south of France would look because of the books that she read, like Udolpho. Henry said that he loved to read novels, especially Anne Radcliffe's novels. So that makes Catherine really happy because she likes Anne Radcliffe's novels. Udolpho, he loves it. Henry says that he loves Udolpho. In fact, he was reading it aloud to his sister, to Eleanor, and Eleanor had to go do something. I don't know, go to the bathroom for 5 minutes. And he was so into it, he didn't want to stop. And he just took the book and ran off so that he could go finish reading it himself. So they're walking through the countryside, and Henry and Eleanor both like to draw. And they know about like terminology and about drawing and art and stuff. And Catherine has none of this knowledge, but she wants to learn. So Henry taught her artistic sketching words like side screens, perspective, distance, foreground, light and shade, things like that. Taught her about how to look at the things around her and sketch them. Later on, when they're back in town, back in Bath, James and Isabella Thorpe announce that they are in love and they are engaged to get married. Isabella tells Catherine that she's worried that James and Catherine's parents are not going to give their consent for them to get married because she doesn't have enough money. But really, it's the other way around. She's the one that wants money. For some reason, they assume that the Morelands have money. So anyway, Catherine herself, Catherine Moreland, feels that it's the wickedest thing in the world to marry for money. The Morelands, Catherine's and James's parents, say they have to, that James and Isabella need to wait 2 to 3 years to get married. And they pledge £400 a year to them once they get married. I guess in that day, parents would like pay their married children sort of like a salary so that they could get started in their own lives. This was not very much to Isabella. I think it was a lot less than she expected. In the meantime, Eleanor Tilney invites Catherine to go with them to their home, which is Northanger Abbey. And that's, it used to be a convent back in the Reformation days, but now it's their home. And their home is a huge castle, an old creepy castle, which is just, Catherine is just over the moon. I mean, she's happy to be around Henry, and she's happy to be with her new friend, Eleanor, who is very nice. But she's also really excited to be going to stay in a castle. Before Catherine left with them to Northanger Abbey, she saw Captain Tilney. Now, this is Henry's and Eleanor's older brother. He's not around much because he's in the army, but he's in town in Bath, and Catherine saw him flirting with Isabella and Isabella flirting back. And this upset Catherine because Isabella was engaged to her brother, to Catherine's brother, James. And so, yeah, she was worried for James and pretty annoyed at Isabella. So they ride in the horse and carriage to Northanger Abbey, which was 30 miles from Bath to get there. Henry drove the horse and carriage, and in contrast to John Thorpe, who whipped his horse and yelled at it and was just a jerk also to the horse as he is with people, Catherine noticed that Henry was very gentle and calm in how he drove his horse. Henry knew that Catherine loved these Gothic novels, like he did too, right? But so as they went on the trip, on the carriage ride, he starts making up a story, just teasing her, getting her all excited, but also kind of scared, and says that there's like this tunnel underneath Northanger Abbey that leads to St. Anthony's Chapel 2 miles away, and that the servant is going to lead her to her own room in the abbey, which is secluded far away from everybody, and it was a room where a cousin had died 20 years before, and he's just creeping her out, but in a fun way. So she's just like, no, you're kidding, you know. So Henry was kidding. She did not get led off to a spooky little room away from everybody. She had a very nice room in the abbey, in the castle. And while she was in there, Catherine found a big cedar chest. And it was kind of pushed back away where it wasn't immediately seen when you come into the room. So it made her curious. And she went and looked inside of it. And she found some papers, like really old papers. And it was, she found a laundry. It was nothing like a great note of anything exciting. She just found like a laundry bill and little receipts and inventory of the linen. Now we start to see the character of General Tilney. He was waiting for lunch and they were late showing up, and he gets really mad. I mean, like, people have to be on the dot to General Tilney, and he gets very mad. Eleanor's nervous that her father's going to be mad that they're not to lunch or dinner on time. It gives you a little foreshadowing of General Tilney's character. General Tilney's wife, so Henry, Eleanor, and what's the older brother's name? Captain Tilney. Their mother died 9 years before. So Catherine and Eleanor were walking around in the gardens and stuff, and Eleanor loved this one path that her mother used to love to walk in the garden. The general would never walk there. And also Catherine noticed that his wife, their mother's portrait, was hanging in Eleanor's room, not in his room. He was very gruff and very just, you know, abrasive. And he told her, the general told Catherine, he did not want her to wander around without him, which just made her more curious. So she gets it into her head. Basically, she's got a really active imagination, and the books that she's reading about all these spooky castles and ghosts and things like that, she gets it into her head that either General Tilney killed his wife or she's actually alive and he's got her locked up in a room like all just as a prisoner. So remember, Catherine wants to be a heroine. So she's going to solve this mystery, find out what happened to Mrs. Tilney. And so she's looking around and she wants to look in the room where Mrs. Tilney died. And the first time she goes to open the door, she gets caught by the general who yells at her to get away. So she does. But then another time she creeps up again to go in, and Henry, the one that she likes, the guy, he surprises her by coming in a different direction into the Abbey from the stable yard. He came up like the back stairs, which she didn't expect. And he catches her going in the room. And he's like, what are you doing? And so he realizes what she suspects of his father, which annoys him somewhat, but he tells her that he was there when his mother died. She suffered a bilious fever and she finally had a seizure and died. And he and Frederick, the Captain Frederick, they were both there at the time when their mother died. It was just Eleanor who was elsewhere at the time. Later, Catherine got a message from her brother James saying that the engagement to Isabella was over. Big surprise, right? Isabella's the one who was flirting with Captain Frederick Tilney. Well, Catherine, she didn't want to come into contact with Frederick Tilney if he came around to the Abbey. He was also one of the siblings there, and she was really upset about the broken engagement. So she didn't want to run into him. Henry Tilney actually had a house of his own in Woodston, not too far from Northanger Abbey, where his father lived. And so General Tilney took Catherine to Henry's house to visit him there, where he worked nearby there too. And Henry had a Newfoundland puppy and some terriers there with him because he was there alone a lot. So they kept him company. Captain Tilney, Frederick, really was not interested in Isabella. He was just flirting. And then he ended up going back with his regiment and leaving Bath. So now all of a sudden, Isabella's all alone. She's like, oh, what have I done? And she wants James back. So she wrote a letter to Catherine. Please tell James that he's the only one I ever loved. And Catherine's like, no, I don't think so. And that's pretty much the end of what we hear about Isabella Thorpe. Now something surprising and shocking and sad happened. All of a sudden, General Tilney, who was never really friendly, but you know, he was okay. He allowed Catherine to stay with them, showed her around the gardens, took her to Henry's house. All of a sudden, he says she's got to leave. He says that he and the family are leaving to go away to Lord Longtown's near Hereford for a fortnight, which is 2 weeks. And Catherine has to leave Northanger Abbey, boom, by 7 o'clock the next morning. And he didn't even arrange to have anybody take her other than a driver. She had to ride, remember, she's only 17. She had to ride 70 miles in a horse and carriage to get from Northanger Abbey back to Bath. Or no, actually all the way back to Fullerton where she lived. So Eleanor was horrified. Didn't know why her father was acting this way. Catherine's upset, wonders what she did wrong. Both the girls are crying. We don't know what's going on. just that she has to leave in the morning. When Catherine got back to her own home in Fullerton, her siblings, especially the little ones, were so excited to see her, and they came around and hugged her. Yay, you're back. But, you know, her mom wanted her to get back into the being part of the family, doing her chores, you know, helping clean the house, that kind of thing. And she was just laying around all sullen and sad and moping around. And so Catherine's mom thought that she had basically gotten spoiled in Bath, having all this fun and dancing and shopping, and that she, you know, now that she was home and everything was normal again, that she was basically just being spoiled. So here's the reason for General Tilney's sudden change of attitude and throwing Catherine out, basically. It's all because of John Thorpe, okay, Isabella's brother, the jerk. They're just a nasty couple of siblings, this family, the Thorpes. Anyway, at first, at the beginning, when Catherine got to Bath, John Thorpe thought that he was going to be with Catherine. And so, as he does about everything, he's bragging to General Tilney about this wealthy girl he's going with and maybe gonna marry and stuff. So he's talking her up like Catherine's a wealthy woman. So General Tilney thought that she was, which made her acceptable to him, you know? Well, then later, when Catherine didn't go for John, she didn't even like him, and she took off to Northanger Abbey. And I think also he probably had an idea because of her dancing with Henry that she liked Henry, not him. Now his feelings are hurt, and he tells General Tilney the truth, which is that she's not wealthy at all. And so that's why the general suddenly goes, "What? You know, she's no good to be around my children." Well, Henry Tilney actually was in love with Catherine at this point. So he rode on his own to Fullerton to ask Catherine to marry him, even though his father, General Tilney, said he was forbidden from ever speaking to her again. And he told his dad, "I don't care. I'm going to go and ask her to marry him." And he told her what caused his father to change his attitude toward her, which actually made her feel better. Because remember, she was suspecting that he was a murderous man who tortured and murdered his wife. And so she kind of felt earlier guilty about feeling that way about him, but now she feels justified because he's just mean. So they want to get married, but it's old-fashioned times, and Catherine's parents are good and simple people, and they felt like they could not give their consent to them getting married as long as Henry's father, General Tilney, didn't give his consent first. They felt like they had no right. All of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, like in a couple of pages, General Tilney changes his mind, lets Henry and Catherine get married. Why? Because his daughter, Eleanor, ends up getting married to some rich guy that we've never met in this book during the summer. So he was cheerful, the general, that his daughter married a wealthy guy. And so he's like, fine, let Henry be a fool if he wants to. And then also tying everything together, the man that Eleanor married, his servant happened to be the one who left the papers in the cedar chest that Catherine found in the room at Northanger Abbey. So, personally, I feel that this was way too quick and easy. It just like, ping, everything gets tied up in a bow, makes it nice and neat, gives us closure so quick, you're like, what just happened? I kind of felt that the author just was tired of writing this novel and was ready to get it done. So no disrespect to Jane Austen. She did go on to write wonderful novels after this, and they were better than this one. So anyway, that's just, like I said, I have my opinions, but this caught me by surprise. I'm like, what just happened? Anyway, Catherine and James get married and they live happily ever after. She was 18 at this point when they got married and he was 26. Now, that seems very young for her to be getting married at 18. But remember, Jane Austen herself was only 41 years old when she died. So people died a lot earlier in those days. In now, present day, it's definitely a good idea to wait until at least 25, the age of 25, to get married or have children. You know, at least wait until your human brain finishes developing before you jump into something serious like marriage or raising children. So that's the end of my sermon. I did enjoy reading this book, mostly because I liked Catherine's character because we have something in common. I love spooky books and castles and vampires and ghosts and werewolves and stuff. So I could identify with her. Thank you for listening to the Battle of the Books Quiz Center session, study session number 2. Since study session number 1 was elementary and this one was a high school book, next time I'll do a middle school level book. I have decided that I'm going to do Starfish by Lisa Phipps. So stay tuned for that. In addition to this YouTube channel, the Battle of the Books Quiz Center study sessions are now also on Spotify and iHeartRadio in podcast form. So same audio as this, it's just audio only in a podcast. So it's something you could listen to while driving or walking or whatever. So please follow, friend, subscribe, and share. And I'll see you next time. In the meantime, happy reading.